Anna always leaves it to me to start. This is what happens, right?
Because you're the professional. Like, I'm just the wing woman. You know, this is your, I'm here, I'm a Slimming World consultant by trade. You're a journalist by trade. You press the buttons. Do you know what I mean? You know, I always feel like you should have the baton to start.
Right. Everybody heard that. That is how we're starting the podcast. You've heard it here first. Fortunately for you, dear listener, we have two people also joining us on this podcast who are going to save us. We have two brilliant, fantastic guys who are going to, you know, amaze you with their stories, inspire you, motivate you far more than Anna and me could ever do.
How offensive.
Okay, well, look, well, we'll take it back and I'll stop waffling because we don't know how to start these podcasts and clearly yeah. That's true, but yeah. It is going to be a good one. Get your notebooks, get your pens. You may want to write down some quotes in this one. We'll share with you the links to their stories if you haven't heard about Matt and Steve already. We'll get into it. In the first of all, though, whilst we take a little mini break for some theme music, we need to pass the baton over to south of the country to Debbie, who I understand has got this public service announcement.
You have one new message.
Hi, Debbie here. Big shout out to everyone in the Musclecliffe group in Bournemouth. Cue the ukuleles.
So yes, welcome to Slimming World Podcast. Thank you so much for Debbie for leaving us a voicemail to cue the ukuleles. Loving these introductions. I'm loving the energy that people are bringing to cue the ukuleles. If you would like to leave us a voicemail, go to our Instagram page at Slimming World Podcast. There you will find all the necessary details of how to do it. Anna, do you remember last year when we recorded a podcast called One for the Men with Jason Jury? Do you remember what happened after that podcast?
It went mental. I remember feeling like it was going to go mental with what he told us, but people loved him. I was so inspired by his fridge and making spag bol in the truck. Do you remember that?
Yeah. See, the thing is, a lot of times people think that Slimming World is just for women. But as we're clearly finding out, loads of guys listen to the podcast. We hear guys are going to group. There are guys even being consultants. Shock, horror. So we thought it's time to kind of dig out the old phone book and see who can we get on the podcast. We're not going to do some cheesy introduction. We'll just let them say hello themselves. Hello to Matt and to Steve. How are you, fellas?
Yeah, really great. Thanks. You?
Yes. Are you all right, Matt?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
You like doing that classic wave, the game show wave.
I was just doing the wave. I saw like, hi, and then I remembered nobody can see me.
But you looked wonderful. Yeah, you look great. It was a great wave. So you guys, we've got to kind of share this, that you actually know each other. Steve, do you want to kind of explain how on earth you guys know each other?
Yeah, absolutely. So I became a consultant in January 2017, and Matt joined on my opening night. On my first night ever as a consultant.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And like now we're like 4 years later.
5 years later.
Wow.
Yeah, so we went on to lose over 9 stone and Man of the Year national finalist in the magazine. We've done loads of stuff. He's been phenomenal. It's been absolutely, to have joined on my opening night and then to have done all that with him has just been fantastic. So yeah.
Ah, see, now, Matt, you should tell us about Steve then. What do you know about Steve?
Literally, I was at a low point where I thought, where do I go with my weight? And it was by chance. I opened up the local newspaper and Steve's story was in there and I just was blown away by his transformation. I thought, wow, if he can do it, surely I can do it. And funny enough, he was opening up the group 2 streets away from my house. It was sort of like, this could not be any more perfect.
Like the stars aligned.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many elements to both of your stories, which, you know, we'll get into a little bit. We've also got a few questions from some of our listeners who've responded to an Instagram post where they kind of want to ask some questions. We've got questions from guys. We've got questions from women. Just really asking a bit of your advice. So we'll get into some of that. I mean, the themes that kind of come from both of your stories. You know, you've got talking about you know, a roller coaster ride that you couldn't fit on, your nicknames at school. You've got grief there from friends passing. You know, you're talking about using alcohol to not, you know, to cope with feelings, socializing, how to reevaluate that. We've got, you started running, you've done marathons, you've met partners. I mean, I don't know how we're going to fit it all in the podcast, really. I mean, a lot of people probably, if I come to you first, Matt, a lot of people may have seen you about. They might recognise when they see a photo of you, your face, because you were in the magazine a couple of editions ago. You've been shared by 4,000 consultants across the country. I mean, how do you kind of sum up like where you were and where you are now, if that's even possible?
Yeah, it's even hard for me to take in sometimes. I just look back and think, how did this happen? I look back to what I, who I still am, but who I was, and think, wow, how can that change from there to there in the space of 5 years? It's just absolutely crazy.
So take us back to what you were thinking 5 years ago. What was the internal dialogue? Because I imagine there could be quite a few guys that might have clicked on this podcast thinking, you know, they've heard about Slimming World. They're not really sure what to expect. They know they need to do something with the weight, but they're not sure where to start. Just, you know, kind of give us an idea of what that internal dialogue was like for you 5 years ago.
I was trying to say to myself, it's okay, I can do this on my own. I can do this on my own. And I tried many times to do it on my own. And it eventually snapped when, as we touched on, when I lost my friend. I just went into a year of self-neglect. And I thought, in the end, I thought some of my friends had said, my mum and dad were very concerned. I just thought something's got to give. And I'd reading Steve's story, then I sort of like started to speak to my friends about Slimming World. And they were sort of like, oh, it's not just for women. I was sort of, but it kind of looks like it is. And so even to the day when I walked up to Steve's door, I saw all the women walking in. I was sort of like, and I started to run away. And the friend that I joined with pretty much chased after me and dragged me in there. And literally as soon as I walked through that door, I was just, there's about five other men there that night. I thought, okay, maybe they're right. Maybe it's not just for women.
You know what I'm always like inspired by when you read someone who's lost as much weight as you is that you've able to stay consistent with that because, you know, you've taken the first step, which I know and Claire knows was the hardest thing. But how have you kept going in that kind of period? Because you lost weight very quickly, didn't you?
Yeah.
But how have you kept that consistency really with it?
There was a point where the people that I joined with, they achieved their target weight and they left. And I thought, oh, don't know if I can do this on my own. And I actually asked Steve if I could become a member of his social team. And that actually inspired me to stay every week because I thought those people walking through the door like I did 10 months before, I'm now a part of their journey. I can help them. I can, So that was the biggest thing that made me still consistent. It's not easy, but yeah.
Do you think you kind of felt, I see a lot of my members when they see that they're losing weight, that's almost like contagious, isn't it? Like you need to believe you can lose weight to lose weight. Did you buzz off the fact that it started to happen and you were losing weight quite rapidly?
Yeah, I think there was one week I had to maintain and I nearly threw my toys out of the pram completely. I was still like, this isn't right. This is not right. I should be losing every week. But then it didn't dampen it. The big numbers coming in did help, but I was so determined. When I walked through that door, the first night I nearly walked out because I didn't realise I weighed as much as I did. But after that, I was so determined to walk out of there how I wanted to at the end of my journey.
Talk to us about the changes you made then food-wise, because there must have been some extraordinary changes you had to make to get to food optimising.
Yeah, definitely. I lived on takeaways. Working in a betting shop, I was sometimes working 13 hours a day. And then I'd go to the pub afterwards because I did used to like a few beers of an evening. And it used to just be takeaways every night. And to be honest, I couldn't really cook. So I did lean on my mum when I first joined Slimming World. I was like, Mum, I'm going to have some help here. I don't know how to cook. But then I surprised them as well because I did go back to basics. Some meals were really bad. It was all very hit and miss. But, eventually I found my stride and I was cooking for myself every night. And even if I was working those shifts, my day off, I used to batch cook. So I'd always have something to take to me to put in my freezer at work.
I mean, this sounds really, there's a theme here maybe, because Jason really made us realise in his episode, there's always an excuse, but there's always a motivation. And with the help of your group and, you know, other members, your friends, you can find a way through this. You know, Steve, I'm really intrigued. Before you were a consultant, you obviously had an incredible story as a member yourself, and that formed a real strong basis in order to really to capture, you know, the eye of Matt in the newspaper advert. But what, where were you at when you first joined Slimming World?
So I went on my own to a local group. I struggled with my weight my entire life, but never thought the Slimming World would be for me. You know, like, you know, echoing what Matt said, it's just assumed poorly that it's just going to be a room full of women, and I'd feel quite, at that time it was a lot more unsure of myself and a lot more shy, especially to walk into that sort of environment, what I was expecting, and the fact of not only walking into it but being hugely overweight and feeling really self-conscious. But I did take the plunge and obviously went, and I was made to feel comfortable, and I wasn't the only man, and it was just normal people who have the exact same struggles that I do. And that is the biggest thing that changed it for me, was the fact that I wasn't mad with my food. I wasn't, you know, what I've struggled with is quite a normal thing, and that's absolutely fine. And the fact that, you know, to see other people overcoming it and to have a consultant that believed in me when I was a member was just phenomenal. You know, all those things you get in your head of what it's going to be like, completely not how it's like.
Did you feel like, I remember when I first walked in, because you have this perception, don't you? And I had this as a woman, that it's going to go a certain way. And I remember that first night just being so blown away. You know how you said, like, your eating habits actually were normal? Like, I remember just going in and being like, oh, okay, they get it. Yeah. Like, this is okay. Because you go in thinking, no one's going to be as big as me. No one's going to get it. No one binges like me. And then I just remember being like, ah. Did you feel a bit the same?
100%, because I've always grown up with naturally slim people, I always felt like there was, you know, something completely wrong or different about me. So to sit there and listen on my first night, and it's like, you know, there were certain bits that echo from other people, and you're like, although I want to change what I'm doing, the fact that what I've gone through or have or going through is actually quite normal, and other people do go through that as well, and that really made me feel so much more at ease, and then so much more confident to think, well, I can go on, and there is longevity in doing this as well.
And you had tried other things as well, Steve, hadn't you?
Yeah, they're everything. Atkins I've tried, like low carb, all of those different things, because I just wanted a fix to do it, until a friend of mine years ago, just before I joined, was doing Slimming World, and I saw them eating these plates of pasta and stuff like this. And I was like, because that goes against everything I'd heard about losing weight. You know, got to cut carbs, got to go do all this. And I just saw the food there, and I'm like, no, I don't believe it. And they went and lost like 3 stone. And I'm like, I don't want to go, but I think I'm going to have to. I want to eat proper food and not feel like I'm deprived or starved or just want to eat food but lose weight and do it in a healthy way. And I was like, so I just went. I was like, well, I've got to go. So I did.
Oh, I've had a little stalk of your Instagram, because that's what you do, don't you? And your food looks incredible, though, because you, when I read your story, I was like, oh, this man, he's got my taste buds. Like, you like takeaway, don't you? Like, it seems to me like you really like your cooking as well. Is that something that's helped you?
Yeah, 100%. So I'm not a person to spend a long time in the kitchen. So 30 to 45 minutes is my maximum amount of time I will happily spend cooking, but I'm happy to cook. And that's why, you know, I love doing the fakeaways. I like doing the Hunt's chicken lasagna is my favourite at the moment. I just made a huge one to freeze down, which I had just before we got on to Zoom, because I thought, I don't want to sit here
hungry. Just go back a second. Did you say Hunter's chicken lasagna?
Yes.
Oh, hello.
That's on the app.
I'm getting me pants. Where have I missed that? Bad consultant, Anna.
Hunter's, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
And you could do that with like corn or tofu, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Ah, yeah.
Sorry, stop the podcast. Anna's got a recipe for dinner tomorrow now.
But yeah, no, I absolutely, yeah, I do love, and I've got always, like when I say to anyone that joins, to get the best out of this, the best diet in the world or the best weight loss plan in the world is one you enjoy. If you enjoy what you eat, you're going to stick with it. And that's my biggest, and that's the same with the exercise. Like, you could ask someone, oh, what's going to burn the most calories in the shortest amount of time? And it's like, it doesn't matter. The best exercise in the world is one you want to go and do. And that's the same with losing. Like, if you enjoy it, you will do it. And that's why I have to love the food I eat for me to be able to help my members and be able to stay or lose weight myself as well.
I read something in your story as well, which you've done what I did, which was like, I've just converted my friends and got everyone involved. Like, no one would know. Like, you come to my house, this is how you eat, which is a really great thing.
It's Slimmer World only, and no one ever says anything. But now, obviously, a majority of all my friends are all part of Slimmer World now, so we're all quite happy to eat it anyway.
I mean, that's an interesting point in itself, because, you know, Matt, for you, a big part of your story was like the reevaluating your socialising. Because, you know, for you, like, after work, drinks, going down the pub, seeing your mates, it's like a big part of, like, how you had fun and how you let your hair down. But then it's almost like, I kind of say, it's like this weird grey area, isn't it? So you're not who you used to be, but you're not quite yet at target and who you're going to be. You're in this weird middle area, and it's almost like you don't want to go back to the old things and the old bad habits. So you kind of got to re-look at, right, where am I going? Where am I going to have fun and juggle that around? And how did you kind of go through that process of, like, that change, that shift?
It was hard, because for myself, my mum had been a barmaid in my local pub for 25 years. So it's pretty much what I grew up with. Pub life was my life. And I made some fantastic friends through that. And thankfully, a lot of them did support me. And we went bowling and would go to the cinema, went out for meals, sort of like that, never stopped during my journey. But I just demanded to know where we were going so I could look at the menu first, even if I had to email the restaurant. But yeah, it was just literally changing everything. I still went down the pub, but it changed for the first few months. I didn't touch beer at all. So I went straight to spirits. And if I used my sins, I would say to my friends, night, see you another night. And I used to leave, because it used to worry me about what and one more. I just had to change it completely.
But that was quite scary.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was sort of like, that was always my safe place. Pub and my friends was my safe place. So to change that, I was always the loud fat one that always used to make the jokes, life and soul of the party. So being the ballroom, I'm going, sorry, lads, I'm not going home. I've had my sins. It was a bit, yeah, complete.
Daunting, isn't it? Mm. Yeah. And how do you deal with that socialising aspect now? Is it just totally different, the things you do, to what you used to do?
Yeah. A lot of the time, like, obviously, now I've got a partner, I don't go out as much. We still like to go out together. We like to go for nice meals. But after time, you just know what to eat. When you look at a menu, sort of like 5 years down the line in Slimmer World, I know what's good. I know what I like. And those, it is sometimes the one. I want that, but is that good for me? That might be good for that one night, but then I'm going to regret that in the morning. So sometimes, yeah. So sometimes it is just making, it's not even a sacrifice. It's just making that better choice.
Better choice, yeah. See, you know, also the topic of conversation that always comes up when we talk about men losing weight, a lot of men think that they can get this weight off, cure themselves by doing nothing but exercise. You know, we hear that time and time again. What is your take on that kind of attitude? I mean, Steve, you love your cycling. Where do you go on that?
It's swimming now. Swimming is my big, I used to cycle back and forth. But I changed that, and I'm up in the pool at 6 a.m. every morning, just because I love swimming, and that's the biggest thing. I don't necessarily, it doesn't overly affect my weight loss. It's the food that makes the difference for me. But I do the exercise because I enjoy it and makes me feel better. Huge difference for your mental health as well. I know it really does. So, I mean, I know Matt absolutely adores running, and he's done some phenomenal stuff with that as well, which is just inspirational.
Do you know what really is exciting? When you just talked about swimming, your whole face lit up, Like, you really enjoy it. It's really interesting, yeah. isn't it?
I go because I love it, and that's the big difference.
And you do it because you love it. Like you said at the beginning, it's about finding the thing that you really want to do. Because if that was going spinning or, I don't know, going running, it might not be your thing and you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, definitely. I've never been a runner. Running has never been something that's interesting.
We both tried it, Claire and I. I was not made for running, me.
Not a runner, that's just not me, and I'm okay with that. But swimming, I'd spend hours in the pool quite happily.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the thing, Anna, as well, isn't it? That, you know, exercise isn't really going to necessarily get the pounds off. It definitely is part of the program, but it is about the food.
Yeah, I think what we've got to remember about activity is it is really key for a number of reasons. Overall health, it's going to be really important. I mean, really important. It's also going to help you create lean muscle. And we know that lean muscle is far more effective, will burn calories at rest. So you are going to be able to maintain weight loss once you have been active. But it can also, you know, tip you into even more of a calorie deficit if you're being active consistently. So it could be the difference from half a pound a week to a pound. We know it's never going to really boost your weight loss, sadly, more than about £1 to £2 a month. But it's really integral that you do get it in. But like we've often talked about, Claire, it's the consistency of the activity. Because I know I've been the person that has gone to the gym for 6 weeks, you know, five times a week, killed myself, and then not gone again for a year. But actually, you know, is it about getting out and doing those steps and doing something you like? So that might be a great way to start. But sadly, it's not that magic pill, is it, that you can swallow? Because sometimes I feel it'll be easier to exercise to lose weight than it is to like cut out the things I like, but I know I won't get the results. So
it's making the changes, like you said, Matt. It's like making those choices. I mean, so like, tell us about this running thing then. Sell it to us.
Yeah, because we need it. We need us to know what we're missing, because it hasn't rubbed off on me yet. Yeah.
To be honest, I didn't pick up a pair of running shoes until I'd hit Target. All the way through my journey, I only ever walked. And it was when I got to Target, I thought, right, I need another goal. And I'm very goal orientated. So I'd lost my weight at my Target where I was happy with. And I was sort of like, what can I do next? And that's when I entered Norwich has a 10K race. And as we touched on, I lost my friend, and that's what started my journey. I thought, right, I'm going to raise some money for her favorite charity. So that was where my running came from. And I downloaded Catch to 5K. And yeah, then I'd done the 10K. And then I thought, right, done that. What's next? Half marathon. Did that. And then my dad had a stroke, which is now led to vascular dementia. And one thing that I was always jealous of people before I lost the weight was how they could do things for charity. And something being so close to my heart, that's when I entered the marathon. And I never dreamt I could do that. And yeah, I did it. And so me 5 years ago before Slim World, that would have only been a dream. And yeah, so running has become a very big part of my daily life now. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit.
Wow. You made me cry. You could see how much how important it is to you. Like, your friend would be so proud of you, wouldn't she? It's incredible.
And while we talked about it, it doesn't help necessarily with the weight loss on the whole. I found it helped me. That became my new routine, as well as the food. The running became the whole new routine. And yeah, so it's helped me along. Not that I'm not that great at maintaining. I'm always a little bit here, there. So, but it does help with, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But what do you do? Like, run us through like a typical week.
So I'm not a runner every day of the week. So I tend to maybe twice a week do a 5K, and then I'll try and fit in a 10K over the weekend. My running, sort of like when I ran the marathon for my dad, it did hit a wall then. It was sort of like so emotional. Running just then took a back seat, but I'm now getting back into where I'm loving it again, enjoying it. I'm not plastering it over Facebook like I did. Look at me, I just went for a run.
But you need that celebration. When you do something like running for the first time, and when I started Couch to 5K, I was like, I need someone to know in case of a cardiac arrest, but also someone to like celebrate. It's a really massive change you've made. Can you imagine saying to yourself all those years ago, like, you would have lost all this weight and you'll run marathons? Like, wouldn't believe it, would you, if you go back and say
that? It's just absolutely crazy. When I went into my dad's care home yesterday, I went in his room, there's a picture of me finishing the marathon on his wall. And I walked in there and thought, that's why I did it. And if I hadn't have been able to lose that weight, I would never have been able to do that.
Do you think that all these changes that you've made, Matt, in the last 5 years, it's been so tough for you with what you're going through, you and your mom, looking after your dad, him going into a home. Do you think that the journey of losing weight has made you mentally stronger so that in the last 2 years you could actually really, like, I don't know, mentally cope with what you've had to go through?
Yeah, if I hadn't lost the weight, I don't know how I would have coped with it. My poor mum was she would have most likely lost me, if I'm honest. Mental health was a big thing before my journey. So I wouldn't have been able to support my family like I have been if I hadn't have joined Slim World and lost the weight.
I mean, Steve, you've witnessed this change with Matt. Can you kind of reflect on what you've seen, Matt? Because, I mean, that guy who walked through your door to this guy who's on the Zoom now, you've had a front row seat.
Oh, 100%. He, compared to the first night Matt joined, he was obviously, like we all are, very nervous and very shy. Matt, Matt continued to be like that for quite a long while. And even though you can still see some of the shoulders coming, but he's such a different person, you know, the helping out on the social team, and that he still is shocked when people nominate him for anything. You know, he doesn't think that, what have I got it again? Because it's like, oh, they've heard my story before. But no, they don't. They love hearing it. Everyone is so proud of you. You know, we posted on that we were coming on the podcast, and one of the members was just phenomenal about how happy they were, and oh, how myself and Matt inspires them. And it's just, he's such a different person. The confidence, the way he dresses, the literally all of him, the people he hangs around with, his social circle now, it's all just completely different, but all in such a huge positive way. That's the biggest thing.
You know, when you you probably feel the same, Steve, when you are a Slimming World consultant and you get to see people come in that room that first week, and I have so many who are broken people, and then you watch them put themselves together. It is the most extraordinary thing to watch this, like, and I've seen it with Claire, like the lady she was to the woman she is now is just astounding. I mean, do you feel, because I feel really privileged, do you feel privileged as a consultant to be part of that journey? Because it just takes my breath away every time I think about it.
100%. And when you see it, and you see, like, when they joined the first night, that the doubt someone has in their eyes, you know, that they don't believe for one second. And I know with the night I joined, I never thought for one second I'd get to where I wanted to be. I just thought, I'll fail at this like I always do. And I think Matt felt the same, as we talked about later on in his journey. And when you see someone get to where they want to be, or they start, they're just, the confidence starts to come through, or they're wearing something a little bit different when they come to group, and you see it for the first time, and you think they've just, something's just changed in them, and you think, oh, so lovely to see. And that's, they feel more confident to make more of an effort in certain things, and you're just, oh, it's just absolutely amazing to see.
Let me bring some of the questions in from listeners. I mean, Deborah here says, what can you do now that you couldn't do before you lost your weight?
Well, it's the exercise thing. You know, I'd never dream of getting up at six. I get up at 5:15 every day to go swimming. Never in a million years did I ever see I'd be that person. All the way through school, if I could avoid PE, I would do everything I physically could to do it. To now be the person who gets up every day to go and exercise is just unheard of. So that's a huge difference. And
Claire was like, I can't meet you tomorrow. The gym doesn't finish till 10:30. I was like, the gym doesn't, like, it, the fact that that's just in your, like, daily cycle, whereas I'm like, sorry, I have my nails done. Like, how incredible is that, that you both have got such an intrinsic part of your life? That's astounding, isn't it?
How about you, Matt?
I think for me, as well as the running, it was getting a new job. I was in the same job for 19 years. When my dad became ill, I left the job to look after him. Then he went into the care home and I thought, what am I going to do now? But to actually have the confidence to go out there and sell myself and believe in myself and get a new job, which I'm absolutely loving. Yeah, that's, I wouldn't have been able to do that. Matt 5 years ago would have still, if he hadn't been made redundant, would still be in that job that he hated.
Wow. You see, Andy says here, how do your male work friends treat your slimming world journey? I mean, Steve, you've got a proper job, as they say, as well.
Yeah.
what kind of experience did you get at work?
I got quite a good experience because luckily my full-time job is my family business. So I come from a huge line of like crab fishermen on the coast. So I was really lucky. So I had my mum works as part of the company. We've got a few other people as well. So everyone was all really quite supportive. And I think they'd seen me do 100 diets before. So they didn't really see too much in it. So I was quite lucky on that perspective. They were just up to, what's he doing this week?
You know. Aww.
That was fine.
Well, when you're the boss, it definitely helps, doesn't it? You
That's
know?
It, yeah.
Yeah, you're all on board. And what about you, Matt? How about you?
So when I was in the betting trade, quite a few of the guys saw what I was doing. They didn't necessarily go to a swimming world group, but their missus were doing it. So they started doing it from home. So some of them took the mickey, went, you're never going to do it. But in that way, that made me want to do it more. But then a lot of them were really supportive and actually said, you're looking good. I think I can do that.
That's it. I mean, I had people who didn't recognise me at work and were really, really rude. They hadn't seen me for a while and they didn't know it was me. You know, it's incredible when that happens.
I think the proof is when like someone grabs you and goes, how have you done this? Like they don't want to say it out, but you're like, oh, okay. So you have been watching what's going on. It's so interesting, isn't it?
So Joe asks, you know, did you ever feel there was added pressure as a bloke to kind of bring in the big numbers week on week? You know, this kind of perception that men lose weight easier and faster than women.
The pressure, I think the pressure is we put a lot. I know that I put the pressure on myself because I want to get the big losses every week. But I don't think I ever felt it from other members or anyone else in group when I was going through my journey, nor do I feel like there's that expectation from anyone now. And I don't know if have you ever felt that, Matt?
No, do you know what? I was going to say exactly the same. I was so determined that I was going to do this. I didn't care what anyone else thought. And if that scales only said 1 pound, it was a pound. It was still down.
Wow.
You know what I always say to members coming through my door who are worried what other people would think is, do you know what? In Slimming World groups, it's all about the support. And also, people are so into their own journey, they're not going to be paying attention to the minutiae of the pounds up and pounds down for you each week. So a lot of the time, the pressure really comes from within. And I always say to my members, the key I found to my weight loss journey and the success that I had was the consistency. And I would always prefer to lose a pound a week than, you know, 10 pounds off 1 week and then 9 pounds on the next. So I think that's just for anybody listening that's thinking, oh, no, is there pressure? There's absolutely no pressure. This is your own journey, isn't it?
Yes, definitely is. And also you've got to realise that, yeah, you may be losing weight, but you're still living. You've still got to live and go out. If it's your birthday, you've still got to go celebrate it. You've got to, the journey, yeah, I may have done mine in 44 weeks, but it doesn't care if you do it in 3 or 4 years.
Claire and I have gone round the houses just to make sure everyone was okay, haven't we? We just wanted to check out.
But this is how you can do. You know what I always get out of, like, you know, listening to these podcasts, I say listen, not even like recording it. I just, my journey definitely has been up, down, round and round. We've gone more up and down like a yo-yo. And sometimes I think if I'm truly honest, it's because I'm not really, when I hear Matt and how determined he is, I lost my love. I lost my determination sometimes. I'm going through a bit at the moment where I'm back and I'm refocused and I'm truly weighing and measuring everything. I am truly checking and logging all my sins. Sometimes, if I'm really honest, I wasn't really that determined. And then I was really annoyed that I didn't get the results. So I always find it amazing when you think, no, that's, if I want this, that's the kind of mindset that I need to adopt. I mean, see, Eddie says here, I'll throw this to you, Matt. So he's in his 30s and he's at his heaviest. And he asks, how did you find your inspiration to keep going, to continue to lose the weight? Huge well done. Yeah, it's starting it is one thing, ending it's another. I always say it's that murky bit in the middle,
yeah,
where you hit these hurdles and you've got to find a way through. And, you know, what was it for you?
When I said earlier, I'm very goal-focused, so I knew I wanted to lose 8 to 9 stone. But when I first weighed, as Steve knows, I didn't realise I was as heavy as I was. So I went in there thinking I want to lose 6 stone. So when I found out I was about 4 stone heavier than what I thought I was, I thought, no, I'm still going to just set that 6 stone mark. But in between that, I was setting myself a goal, like my first 2 stone, I'm going to have a pizza that night. And because I didn't have it, takeaways all the way through. So it was, while I was losing the weight, I was celebrating it with little tiny things. So like stone mark, 3 stone, I bought a new wardrobe, bought a few new clothes for my wardrobe. And it was just little goals and little celebrations on the way that kept me focused and kept me into it. And when I hit the 6 stone, I then just went, right, I'll set another stone and just see how I felt. And then I'll set another stone. So I never pressured myself with a big, well, I suppose you can call 6 stone big target, but I didn't want to say I want to lose 9, 10 stone and completely fail at that. So I just done little chunks at a time. And for the last 3 stone, that's what I did. But it's about celebrating those little victories.
What? That, I mean, that is everything, isn't it? Hannah, like I have lived in my head saying, I'll be happy when I'm at target. And you punish yourself until you see that number on your scale. How many people do that? That, like, you've nailed it.
Or you come up, like, I meet a lot of members who will set a target when they walk in that's a number, and actually that number means nothing to them. And it's not, but they feel they failed if they've not got to that number. But actually, like Claire, when you set target, it was okay. You were happy with where you'd got to. So I think what you've done that's very clever is literally celebrate your success as it happens, not wait for the happiness to be at that golden gate type thing, which a lot of us do, yeah. It took me my 22nd attempt at joining to get to that point. It had taken me so many years to go, actually, you can celebrate the fact that you're just doing it and ticking off those pounds. So look how far you got doing that.
That's brilliant. I mean, so Steve, we've got here, David asks, how hard was it to set up your own group? And James also says, what do you think are the main barriers to men joining Slimming World? What do you think we can do to change it? So with your like kind of consultant hat on, how do you deal with those kind of questions?
So setting up the group itself when I first became a consultant was hard work, because there's lots to do. But support wise, you see, I was really lucky. The opening night I had 8 members of the social team who came with me, who were members where I'd lost all my weight. Setting up was quite good. You know, your first thought is good, just keeping going, you know, it's learning how to, there's so much to take on board, but it's just the most rewarding. I think it's very much what me and Matt, you know, said about before we joined. You know, it felt like we didn't, the idea of not knowing what really goes on in a meeting, you know, thinking it is just like a little bit of a coffee morning, lots of, you know, like a social event, lots of ladies just talking and stuff like that, and all, and which it's nothing like that at all. And that's the perception because of social media, or long before social media, because of TV sketches and stuff like that. What you assume a Slimmer World group to be like is nothing like it is. It's actually a room full of people who are wanting the same goal, who are going through different things, but we all have go through certain parts of those ourselves. And it's learning to find the right tools and support to get us to where we want to be. And it's not about just standing there and chit-chat and stuff. Although there is lots of talk and fun and laughter and everything as well, there's so much more to it than just thinking that's just a little, oh, let's have a coffee, get on a pair of scales and that's it, because that's not. And I think that's the thing that men think that's not going to be for them, because it is just going to be lots of chatting and stuff like that. And it really is more about the teaching and the learning and, you know, how to food optimize through everything that we go through, you know, like Matt said, with the socializing. So that is always that you learn all these tips in group, and that's, that's having that, and that's the thing that I think people or men need to know, is that there is so much more to it, and there is that support and that idea and that, you know, that motivation to keep you going. And that's the biggest thing, like Matt, with the goals and the, you just want to get to target, and, you know, having people there cheering you on does make it so much different.
I think also if a lot of men like walked in, they'd see there's other men. Like, I had a guy join last week and he walked, he was like, there's blokes here. I was like, yes, there's lots of blokes coming. But his fear was like, there was going to be none. But I was like, come in, there's six of them sat down there. Come and join them. So I think it is knowing, actually, there are quite a lot of men that are in there. I mean, there are some groups, I don't know, I've got groups on different days, and there's some where there's like patches of loads of blokes in some, and some where there aren't so many. But I would say to anybody, it's about finding the right consultant and finding the right group for you, and have a look around. A lot of the guys I know, like who come to groups, will have started off with a male consultant because they felt like, okay, I got a kindred spirit here. And then they might end up, you know, going to a different group. So I'd say to any guy that's nervous, maybe seek out a male consultant in your area as well, because straight away you've kind of got a little companion, haven't you?
Every time I get a call about if a man does ring to join, one of the questions they will ask is always, are there other men there? And because it's like, you know, you know, as a man, you want that to feel like you aren't alone. So, but every group, I don't think I've ever been to a group or covered a group or worked in a group where I haven't had a male member. So that shows that we all go to, it's for everyone.
And a lot of the men that come to my groups, you know, that are retired ones, are like, we just love being in a room full of ladies. This really isn't an issue. Do you know what I mean? We love learning about these type of things. So I would just say to anyone, come along and see what it's like, because it's nothing like that well-known sketch on TV.
100%. No, not like that at all.
I think my favourite comment, the last episode that we did, the one for the men, was when, I forget the name of the guy, who just said, you know when you have a week where you have a gain or you maintain, you just say, Star Week.
Star Week.
I only listened to that today and I absolutely love it.
So Matt, that was clearly what happened to you on that week where you maintained.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
If you know, you know. That's all we'll say about that one. Okay, question here. What was your favourite non-scale victory from Joe? Matt, go on. I mean, God, you got so many flipping ones. I don't know, where do you... You need a top 10.
Yeah. I think for me is... And I've heard a lot of other men say it as well, is going on an aeroplane and not having to ask for the extender. It is definitely by far up there.
Yeah. And actually, Steve, you know, one of the reasons that you kind of decided to lose weight was down to a roller coaster. Like, yeah. So you understand that, don't you?
100%. You know, I dreamed all my life of going to Florida. So I got to go, then couldn't fit on any of the rides that I wanted to go on because I was very big at the time. So the fact to have been able to lose the weight, go back and retake the photos in the places where I was so unhappy, they were the biggest thing. And to fit on the Harry Potter ride was the biggest one at Universal Studios. And the fact I couldn't get the thing. So now I actually have a photo of me sitting in the seat because I'm so happy. That was my biggest non-scale victory. Yeah, that was just phenomenal to have been able to do it. Especially because I've been turned away from it the first time. I think that was the biggest blow. So
we've had quite a few like that, haven't we? We interviewed a couple of the year in Ireland and it was something like that that sparked them as well. And I think those things have such a profound impact, don't they? I remember having to be cut out of a dress in a changing room because I literally couldn't get out of it. And I just remember thinking, this is never going to happen again. But it motivated me. I don't know if you guys have found that, like the things that you couldn't do motivate you because you want to go back and hang on, I'm getting on the plane and I don't need the extender and I'm getting on that ride. So it's actually something that can spur you on as well, can't it?
100%, yeah. And that really did for me. That really was like, right, I've got to do this and I've got to sort it out properly now.
Something that comes up again and again is this stereotype that men don't cry, you know, and a mental health. If there isn't like a paragraph or a TV program that doesn't mention that phrase now, mental health. I mean, it's great that there's much more awareness, but we know, even as women here, we know about the shame, the guilt, you know, the disgust that you can carry at yourself when you're a bigger person. I mean, what advice would you have to people who are listening, who are sitting with those emotions right now, and they're almost paralyzed, and they know they need to do something about this. They're where you were at the start. They're just not quite sure where to start. I mean, Steve, what would you say to that?
I think the thing I would say is it's always fixable. Don't ever think that you can't change it. You know, no matter how small it is to start with, you can change. You know, having that, just knowing that it's not forever. And that's the biggest thing. When you get so down and so upset about your weight, in a spiral, they'll see you then eat more, and it just, you know, piles on, because it had exactly what it did for me. It's just knowing that remembering there is a way out, and having just go one day at a time to get it. Think, right, today's the day I'm going to do it. And if it doesn't, by 10 o'clock, if you've had a bar of chocolate, it's not the end of the world. Try again tomorrow. Don't let it. It won't beat you. And that's the biggest thing. It's always fixable.
And how about you, Matt?
I've been there myself, so I can remember sitting on the sofa and wishing my life would change. It's okay. It is okay to feel like that. And take that leap of faith, because you will not regret it. You honestly will. I'm trying not to get upset myself. But my life has changed so much. And some of the things that I've had to deal with in my life, if I hadn't joined Slim World and lost the weight, I wouldn't have been able to deal with that. I wouldn't have been here. So just take that leap of faith. Listen to the people around you. It really helps. And it is what they say, healthy body, healthy mind. It is true. It honestly is true. May it be eating that good meal, or just taking yourself out of the house, walking down the road and seeing the nature in the countryside. It's just, yeah. Sorry, I'm waffling on, but...
Yeah, but you've got a reason to, Matt, you know, because like you say, we wouldn't be in the situation where we would all be having the Zoom conversation, you know, if you hadn't made that first step. And I think what your story, and in some ways, I think part of mine as well, it's like, I think we talked about this on previous episode, only a few weeks ago, how you kind of make one change. And then like what Steve says, then maybe you change the clothes that you wear, or the people that you do, or your job, or suddenly like the knock-on effect is like, it's crazy, the confidence that you get, yeah, from just make that first move. And it could just be that thing that just kind of lifts that load off your shoulders, that just makes life a little bit easier, because you should not have to be sat struggling on your own, thinking all these thoughts, carrying all this, no matter whether you face huge trauma or just a little blip. It, you know, you don't need to do that. That there is always a way, and it's incredible, like a problem shared is so much easier, to feel heard, to feel understood. You know, that's a big reason why me and Anna started this podcast, you know, in the first place, was because we really felt when we started this journey however many years ago, that we felt there were lots of experts telling us how to lose weight, but there wasn't really a podcast place where people could hear people who were in the trenches with them going through struggling with this. So, you know, if you are listening or in that situation, number one, get help. Number two, just make that first step. You know, don't hold back. Go for it. One question here, a real lighter, simpler one. Hayley simply asks, what is your go-to speed-free food, Steve?
Apples, because they're easy just to grab quickly.
Okay, true, true. And sometimes strawberries go a bit squishy, don't they? You know, you get a bit longer shelf life with apple, don't you?
Yeah.
How about you, Matt? What are you going to say?
Mine's sliced peppers. Raw pepper. Wow. Got that crunch.
What colour?
It's got to be red.
Interesting.
Couldn't do that green, no.
No.
I don't know what mine would be right now, actually. What would yours be, Anna?
Do you need to ask?
Baby cucumbers.
No, just any cucumber.
Ugh, yes.
I know. I am going to make you love... You liked cucumber in my salad.
Oh, do you know?
Do you remember?
Oh, no. At the moment, we're going through a phase where we love parsnips. They are speed, aren't they?
No, they're free, darling.
Carrots. Sorry, carrots.
I'm taking away your badge of honour.
Okay, I'll take it back. Carrots and parsnips are two of our go-tos at the moment.
We'll see if she edits this out, won't we?
Well, it's not sins. It's free food. You can eat as much of it as you want. It's unlimited. Let's do the sales pattern here. Guys, it's been incredible to like speak to you and hear your stories. And I know that, you know, we will get emails in months and years to come when people are catching up and listening to this. Thank you so much. What we will do is we will put links to the guys' stories. So if you are a member, you'll be able to read their stories in the members area. And we'll also put some of the photos on our Instagram page to tag you guys in it, because I think when you see the photos of these guys, wow, that just, if you need a final reason to kind of do something about your weight, if you're sat there in their position, the photos will do everything. Any kind of last words of advice?
Like, it would just be that keep going, you know, if it hasn't worked out today, keep trying again tomorrow. It doesn't have to be the end of it. If you feel like, oh, I failed, I've got to stop, you haven't, keep going, you can do it.
Yeah, for myself, it is just try and prepare as much as you can. Life does happen, and if it does, it does. What do you always say, Steve? There's how many meals in a week?
21.
And if one bad meal, you don't ruin a week, do you?
No, that's it.
It's the old flowers and vase, isn't it? You wouldn't yeah. You wouldn't throw all the flowers out if one flower died in the vase.
No.
No, I probably said that really wrong, didn't I?
But no, you said it right.
Okay, yeah. Right. I'm not very good at phrases and metaphors.
Analogy.
So, yeah, or parsnips, apparently. So,
do you know what, guys? I just have to say something to you. Like, I really thank you for coming on, because I think there will be people who listen tonight and you will start their journey and change their lives. And that is an amazing thing, because I think you guys have shown such courage and given so many people so much hope that I just want to say thank you for coming on, because I know there'll be people, and like Claire said, we'll get emails, we'll get messages, who you literally have been the switch they needed to flip their journey. So thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
No, huge thank you for having us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Ah, well, thank you, guys. You know, let us know your thoughts, guys, if you're listening. What have been the standout little quotes or nuggets that you've jotted in your journal with your beautiful coloured pens? Come join the party on Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. And of course, this is a public podcast, so you can listen to this on Apple or Spotify. But if you are a member, don't forget that all the other weeks, because we're now fortnightly in public, every other week, we also have a members bonus podcast, which is available on your Slimming World members area. In the meantime, we will go off. I'm off to go and maybe eat some carrots and not baby cucumbers. And we'll be back next Monday. See you later.
Bye for now.